Welcome to the only show that looks at business from a different perspective, the coaching perspective, with Master Certified Business Coach, Doug Gefeller.
Good afternoon and welcome to today's episode of The Coaching Perspective. I'm your host, Doug Gefeller, and today we're going to be talking about silos. You know, those things that you shoot missiles out of? No, not really, but hold on, we'll get to that in just a moment. If you're listening to the show live, then you are on octalkradio.net. Thank you for joining us live. If you're listening to our podcast, then thank you for visiting our website, thecoachingperspective.com. Hey, be sure to check our archives while you're at our site. Catch some of our past shows with some great guests. Well, today's program, are you coaching or are you working in a silo? What are we talking about here? You know, in business, the term silo is often used to describe a mindset when certain departments or sectors do not wish to share information with others in the same company. The thinking goes that this type of mentality reduces the efficiency of the overall operation, reduces morale, and may contribute to the demise of a productive company culture. That's the business definition. In coaching, when we use the term silo, we sometimes use it to describe a client who is unable to see the possibilities outside of their existing environment. But as coaches, are we also sometimes working in a silo environment that we've created for ourselves? Well, we're going to talk about silos in business and silos in coaching and question if it's possible to work without silos at all. Are they good? Are they bad? Are they here to stay or are they temporary? That's what we're going to kind of deal with. Well, just before we get into that, let me just briefly tell you, in case you don't already know, that we've been coaching executives and business owners for 19 years under the banner of The Coaching Perspective, helping to create more effective teams as our primary focus. And we work with both existing and new management teams and project teams. And in all cases, our goal is to increase the productivity of the team and the individual member. We also offer individual coaching from the top executive to the newest entry-level position, coaching for people who want to sharpen their business skills and communication workshops. I'm a master certified coach, a past president of the Orange County chapter of the International Coach Federation, and my coaching training was done through CTI, the Coaches Training Institute. I think those all fall under the category of disclaimers. Well, let's talk a little bit about silos. You know, let's get some definitions out of the way. Most of the definitions that you find about silos are negative. And let me share some of those thoughts with you because they're really key to our discussion here. Many people think that silo is a term of derision that suggests that each department on an organization chart is a silo, that it stands alone, not interacting with any of the other department silos. Some use it to explain an attitude found in companies that occurs when departments or groups do not want to share information or knowledge with other individuals in the same company. And they claim that a silo mentality, and that word is meant to be negative the way most people use it, that silo mentality reduces efficiency and can be a contributing factor to a failing corporate culture. Still others say that it means a lack of communication and it causes departmental thinking to lack ideas from other departments. Others say it's a lack of communication and common goals between departments in an organization. It's the opposite of systems thinking. You know, silos can pose serious business risks, whether they occur in big corporations or small startups. A big risk might be not being nimble enough to make decisions and act quickly in an ever-changing business landscape in order to ensure survival. Well, those are some of the negative definitions. You know, and why are we even talking about silos here? You know, from a negative point of view, we're talking about it because it's what limits our thinking. It's what limits our communication. It's what inherently happens as a company goes from a garage startup to a thriving organization with 25, 50, 100 or more people, maybe multiple locations. You know, it's pretty hard to have silos when there's only three of us working together. We might have it, but it's not common. But as we add people, and as the people we add each adopt sort of a specialty or a protected area that they want to work in, we start to get that silo mentality. It's sort of like, well, I'm not the producer of this show. I'm just the host. And I can't comment on anything that's technically involved in the show because that's not my realm of expertise. That's not within the silo that's been defined by me and by the producer. So an important distinction there. Silos sometimes are created only in our own minds, and sometimes they're created by others. And many times, neither you or the other person are totally aware of the silos that you're both dealing with. Now, isn't that an interesting proposition? To think that I've self-imposed a silo that's keeping me from contributing or communicating, and that no one else knows that that silo exists, that they think I'm contributing freely, they think I'm communicating totally, they think I'm interested in what they're doing, and yet I've defined this silo that says I don't care what they're doing, that's outside my department. So that's where we kind of are in business. And let me just kind of walk this through business for a few minutes here, and then I want to tie it into coaching. You know, it was interesting that Tuesday I attended an ASTD meeting that had to do with organizational development. And had a lot to do with the silos, although they didn't use that word, but the silos that have been created in the HR departments, that there's the personnel department, the HR department, there's the group that handles payroll, there's the group that handles performance appraisals. And in large companies, all of a sudden this function of dealing with the people in our organization has been split into four or five or six different silos. Frankly, I was amazed as I listened to these people, some of them from fairly substantial companies. I didn't even know it had gone that far. Most of the work I do is with medium-sized businesses, and to think that that function of dealing with the people in our company, from hiring them to training them to promoting them to providing them with benefits to terminating them to managing their 401k and their retirement plans, that has all evolved into multiple silos. And the discussion they were having was they were talking about integrated learning. They were talking about breaking down these silos or creating links between these silos so that they didn't work at opposite directions. Because one of the big negatives as a silo is, while I may be doing a fantastic job here in my silo that I have defined, you know, I'm getting ready for that missile to take off, but I'm doing this great job with what I see as my job, but totally ignoring what the corporation's goals are, or maybe the division's goals, but just focused on my goals or my department's goals, actually to the detriment of the overall company. And that happens more often than we really want to admit. Well, let's just step aside for a second. You know, silos aren't all negative. Some people claim that there's some positive definitions of it. Here's one that I particularly liked. Managers of successful firms spend a lot of their time trying to ensure that information flows freely between departments to ensure that all aspects of the company are functioning effectively. Contemporary management views suggest that the silo mentality or mindset must be broken down in order for employees to remain motivated and happy to come to work. And that efficient companies promote the sharing of information in an attempt to let the combination of groups function as a team. So what they're saying there is that in successful companies, we have a free flow of information, which is just the opposite definition of a silo. So how are they saying that there is a positive benefit to silos? But what they're saying is that an efficient organization connects those silos laterally into a cohesive structure in which people know the function, contribution, and importance of all the other silos and the people working within them. So there we talk about a healthy silo. It is where we get the benefits of consolidating expertise, and yet we avoid the negative of not sharing that information by creating these lateral connections so that we have a cohesive structure of multiple silos. You know, it isn't really too different from the original definition of a missile silo. Most missile silos were not independently controlled. Most of the missile silos were in pods where there was three or four or five, I don't know how many really, silos that were all linked to be controlled through one set, all linked together so they communicated to one master underground or one master control bunker where they could be launched or aimed in a cohesive way that was of benefit to the pod, not to the individual silo. So that's what we're talking about here in business. And you know, as I looked at this subject, it was interesting to me that the way I got into this discussion was that for the last 18 years, through Renaissance Executive Forums, I have been working to help CEOs get away from the silo impact. In other words, the reason that most CEOs joined a mastermind group, a peer group, an advisory board, whatever you want to call it, Excuse me, just a minute there. I was dealing with the producer. We got a really urgent issue here. He's going to step away from the control panel to have lunch, and we certainly don't want him to go hungry. I'm okay. Do not touch the dials. Hey, we're back on track here. Anyhow, so what I was saying is that for 18 years I've been putting together these CEO peer groups all to break down the silos that get created when you are the owner, the CEO of a business, and your focus is so total on that business that you really don't know what's going on outside your own walls. Now, you know, admittedly, this is not a black or white. I mean, there are many people who do not know what's going on except with their own business, their own suppliers, and their own customers. There are other people running business that have expanded their silo to include not only their suppliers and customers, but the competition, other people in their industry. And then there's those who've expanded it even greater and said, I want to be aware of what's going on in my geographic area or my marketing area. I want to keep tabs on the overall economy, the economic health of businesses in general that may impact my particular business. Or those who have a more far-reaching point of view, I want to look at the world conditions that I deal with. And I want to look at not just the business conditions, but I want to look also at the socioeconomic conditions, the demographics, people happy, what's going on in the world, how might that eventually impact my business? So where we're going with this is that successful business owners, as they go from startup through the sort of normal predictable patterns, they start very much in a silo, in their area of expertise with their service or their product. And many of them continue on, even though the business grows and they add people and they add revenue and they add expenses and hopefully they add profits. As the business grows, they continue to stay bound to that silo that is their company, their suppliers, their customers, and the way they have defined it. What we found in the executive forums was when we brought these individuals together once a month to spend a half day sort of sharing problems and issues and what was going on, was that there was tremendous learning by really exposing them to other silos. One is they found out that their issues were not unique, that that people in a non-competitive business, totally different, a manufacturer, a service company, or a local service company looking at a international service company, and finding that they have the same issues. They all have the same issues. The magnitude may be different. There may be more zeros on the end of the numbers, but it is the same issue. What we discovered is that while the issues were the same, that in each of these silos, the solutions to those issues had been developed independently and were kind of not kept secret in the sense that they didn't want to share it, although in some cases that was true, but kept secret in the sense that there was no benefit to extending their solutions out to share with others. There was no ROI on them taking time and money to share the solutions they'd come up with others. And so the monthly forum meeting became the place to share that learning, that knowledge, those unique solutions, that unique way of looking at common issues, or that different way of looking at what the same issue that other people had, to share it with one another, and that by sharing it, they received back a perspective on their issues from somebody else at the same time that they gave their perspective to them. So there was an ROI, and in effect, the silo didn't get torn down. Each of these individuals maintained their independence with their company, their suppliers and their customers, or their silo. But there became a lateral connection through this executive forums that provided for communication, for learning, for sharing of ideas, for stimulation, for creative thinking, for reinforcement of what was going right or what was going wrong, for new perspectives on what was happening. And those perspectives sometimes came up with solutions that wouldn't have otherwise come up. Those perspectives sometimes avoided mistakes that would have otherwise have been made. And those perspectives many times launched or created a dialogue into a new direction, a new way of thinking, a new product, or a new service. So for 18 years, I had the advantage of seeing this breaking down of silos and this sharing of information. And, you know, I cannot even begin to tell you how many times that I walked away from those meetings and thought back to the years when I had my own construction company and was totally engrossed in my business and thought, what if I had that perspective? What if I'd gotten out of my own way and realized there were some other ways to look at things? No, I did do some of that. It wasn't as if I didn't, for a period of time, I did belong to an executive group, but I came to it late in my career there. So that's kind of what got me thinking about silos today. And we're going to take a commercial break in just a second here, but I want to take and tie that silo conversation in business into what happens in the HR function and what happens to coaches. But we'll come back with that. Let me turn you over to our producer.
Smart Business Network is a business-to-business multimedia company providing insight, advice, and strategy for C-level executives of fast growth, middle market, and large companies. As one of the nation's largest publishers of local management journals, under the Smart Business name, Smart Business Network publishes 19 regional print editions, presents dozens of large and small-scale business conferences and award programs, and produces a vibrant interactive digital media presence. For more information, visit us at www.sbnonline.com.
It takes 12 years to create a graduate. It takes about the same time to create a dropout. And at the end of the day, the difference between a child becoming one or the other could be you. So United Way is asking you to make a pledge. Tutor a child who needs help. Mentor a kid who needs someone on their side. Volunteer to read to children. Because when a child advances, we all advance. Be a reader. Tutor or mentor. Give. Advocate. Volunteer. Live United. Take the pledge now at liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Thank you. Okay, we're back. This is Doug Gefeller with you today talking about silos, and we're just about to go into how that business definition impacts coaching. But before we do, I want to share a couple of things with you. First, I want to welcome our newest sponsor, the local Orange County chapter of the International Coach Federation. Pleased to have them sponsoring our show. And let me just put a plug in there that they meet once a month on the second Thursday of every month in Irvine. And this next Thursday, they're going to be having a program called Convert More Prospects to Clients. Are you struggling with getting more clients? Are prospects saying no to you more often than they're saying yes? How often do you wonder if you can improve your approach in the initial conversation or sample session so that it leads to getting more clients? Well, join them on Thursday to hear their panel, Greg Winston, Kathy Fleming, and yours truly, as we talk about what we are each doing in our own area, our own silos, and how we can link those and link them to your silo and give you some fresh ideas, some new perspective on how you might get more clients or how you might increase your conversion rate for the people that you're currently talking to. So, hey, it's a great meeting. If you want more information on it and to make your reservation, go to www.icforangecounty.com. Got hung up for a minute there. I thought it was .org, but it's .com. Great group. Make sure you make your reservation before Monday, and you'll get a price break. So that's always worth it. I also want to take a minute to let you know that on June 21st, we're going to have a fascinating guest, Janine McDonald of J9 Leading Solutions. And Janine is going to talk to us about change management. And Janine is a new acquaintance of mine, and I am just fascinated to learn more about what she does. What I've learned so far and what I've seen her in action doing is really very impressive, and you're going to have a full session there. We've got some other great guests also right on the edge of penciling our show into their calendar, so I'll keep you up to date as we get those commitments. If you're not getting our weekly newsletter, hey, be sure to drop me an email at doug@thecoachingperspective.com, and make sure you get on our email list. It comes out every Wednesday and tells you who's going to be on the show Thursday, gives you some information. All right. Silos. What happens in coaching? How do silos affect both our clients and us as a coach? Well, you know, if you think of a silo as this missile launch tube, this round concrete structure, and I like to think of it as more of a round structure with bands around it that are making it hold its shape. And those bands that are surrounding it are actually the things that keep us in the silo and don't let us get out. And if we can break out of that silo, what we have got is creative ideas. We want to pour those creative ideas, those new perspectives, that new information that other people have spent their hard-earned money and blood, sweat, and tears that could help us, and we wouldn't have to go through that. So what are some of the things that are keeping us from breaking out of this silo? Well, you know, tradition is one of those. And whether we're talking about a coaching client or whether we're talking about us as a coach, tradition, meaning this is the way we've always done it here. This is the way I coach. Or from the client's perspective, I've never had any luck with that, so I'm not going to try it kind of attitude. Or that it just isn't done that way in our business. Or we don't do that in my profession. It isn't the way it's done. That kind of traditional thinking is a negative. It is what keeps us from breaking out of that silo and seeing new perspectives, seeing new opportunities. You know, and wrapped fairly tight with that tradition attitude is the one of fear. Fear of change, fear of failure, and you know, this is a fear that exists both with the client, and we, you know, as coaches, we frequently are dealing with this issue. People come to you as a coach, and they want help with the problem, and the real problem isn't the problem. The real problem is the client's fear of dealing with the problem, the client's fear of taking steps to try to solve it when there's no guarantee that those steps are going to work. And so they continue to live with the issue and never try to do anything to solve it, all because of the fear of doing something new, doing something different, or of failing. You know, I love that TV commercial that shows the people in the office or the factory, and they're going to lunch, and they all line up going to the same old place, you know, because of the fear of trying something new, the fear that it might not be as good as the old place, it might cost more than the old place, it might not serve as fast as the old place. Those kinds of fears are what we as coaches are used to dealing with. And many people come to coaching strictly to get that fear dealt with and to break out of that silo that they're being held in because of those bounds, or because of that fear binding them to ignoring new ways of thinking. As a coach, it's a little harder for us to admit, but sometimes we have to deal with that same fear as we're coaching clients. The fear that, is what I'm going to say going to offend the client? Is what I'm going to say going to make the client go away? Are they not going to like me because of what I've said? That fear of, what if I get them to try this and it doesn't work? What if they don't try it? You know, that fear of being responsible, and yet we coaches that we are not responsible. It is really the client. It is their choice. It's a free will relationship, and it is up to them whether they choose to go forward, stay where they are, or go backwards. But as coaches, we need to deal with that fear, to step out of that silo, and to be bold and confront what we see and name it. The other issue that ties, you know, sort of the flip side of that fear coin is pride. Pride is what keeps people in these silos, too. The pride that, you know, my way of doing it is the best. You know, this in business, we hear it all the time. Well, we don't do it that way around here. Or, well, why would I look at writing a new job description? I wrote that one myself 5 years ago. It must be perfect. Aren't I a genius? You know, that pride we have in authorship, that pride we have in... You know, and it's justifiable. That's what makes it so difficult. That pride at the time that we came up with the solution for the problem, yesterday, last year, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, whenever it was, that pride was totally justifiable. But it's no longer justifiable after the solution's been implemented, because time changes everything. We have to get rid of that pride, to break out of that silo that's keeping us from looking at things in a different way. Low expectations is, you know, unfortunately more prevalent than people would like to think. And I don't mean people are living in fear they're going to fail. I mean, gee whiz, I would say I don't know a client that I've ever had that didn't come to me already successful in some area, already a superstar in some area. But I don't know a client that I've ever met, a coach that I've ever met, myself, that wasn't capable of doing more or better. And that issue of low expectations, of not being willing to step out, that fear of thinking big, that fear of taking giant steps forward. You know, not so much fear of failure, we've talked about that, but fear of success, fear of what it would mean, what would happen. This is one that's hard to get people to talk about, but I really think it is one that is maybe one of the bigger metal bands that's holding this silo together and keeping us from breaking through and getting creative ideas and new perspectives on things. And, you know, maybe one of the last ones that I can think of right now is where we are focused, either as the client or the coach, on the process, not on the results. You know, so many times clients want to talk about how hard they're working as justification for what they're doing. The reason this isn't working isn't my fault, because I'm really working hard on this. I'm putting in lots of hours. I'm losing sleep over it. Forget all that. What are the results that you're getting from the activity? If the results aren't there, then the activity is not worth doing. There's no point in it. It's the epitome of the hamster in the cage running around, you know, on that little treadmill, and he is going really fast, but where's he going? Absolutely nowhere. A lot of us are on that treadmill. A lot of us are in that hamster cage, bound up in focusing on the process, not on the results. You know, how many people, I mean, have we with, how many people have we heard say their biggest problem is time management? If I just had more time, I'd be more successful. If I just had more time to get this done, I'd be a better dad, a better father, a better husband, a better supervisor, a better whatever. And the issue isn't more time. The issue is, how are we spending that time? You know, every time I have coached a client on time management, every time I've been coached on time management, no one has ever produced more hours. But the issue always becomes that I'm wasting time doing things that aren't a priority, doing things that are urgent but not important, as Covey would say, that are in the wrong quadrant, things that really I'm working hard on, I'm putting in the hours, I'm putting in the effort, but they aren't a priority to work on. The things that produce the results, they're the things that fill my day so I don't have to deal with the big issues. You know, they are me getting up first thing in the morning early, because I'm an early morning riser, and that's when I think the best, and starting the computer up and then spending an hour going through emails rather than spending that hour writing the world's best blog, which I've never done. You know, I justify it because, well, I'm ready to go to work and I need to do some work. I need to do some heavy lifting. I need to feel like I'm really pulling the load, my share here. And to do that means I've got to empty this inbox of the 300 messages that came in since I went to bed at 11 o'clock, you know? Instead of ignoring them and saying, I can deal with those 2 days from now and it won't make that much of a difference, but what I really need to do is, this is time for me to sit down and finish that chapter in the book, finish that blog, sit and think about the client that I'm going to talk to later today, and how can I creatively structure that coaching call to give them what they really need. So that focus on process, not on results, is certainly one of the things that is keeping us in those silos. Well, you know, there's good silos, there's bad silos. If you're going to have a silo, you need to be able to link those together, but sometimes it just doesn't work and you need to break them down. So here's some tips for how you break down business silos. Number one is, it starts at the top. You know, it starts at the top by a company or a coach identifying their core values of what they're really all about and making sure that those core values include collaboration and communication and teamwork, and then making sure that they practice what they preach. You know, one of the things with coaches is that, as coaches, most of us are pretty good about keeping up to date in our field with process. And what I mean by that is that we go to seminars, we read books, we listen to lectures, we get those continuing educational credits, we get our certifications, we stay up to date on the process of how to coach. But you know, we're missing something there. I don't care whether you're a new coach or you're a coach with 20 years of experience. think about the sports team, or think about the race driver that's practicing for the Indy 500. He can sit in the pits. He can sit on the simulator and play with the simulator. He can study all the films and understand what he's supposed to do. But there's nothing like game day. Nothing like game day. It really hit me last week. I went to my oldest grandson's baseball game, and they were in the playoffs. And I don't get to go to these games very much, but so I went to the game. I was able to get to this one early, and I was watching the team go through their warm-up exercises. These are eight-year-olds. And I was truly amazed at the level of competency that they had compared to the beginning of the season. Boy, they were able to hit those infield balls that were hit to them. They were able to throw the ball from the bases all the way to home plate with some velocity, with some volume. And I just couldn't believe how these kids had developed, you know. And then it came game time, and both teams got out there, and they couldn't catch a ball. They throw the ball straight. You know, what really became obvious is you can prepare and learn the mechanics, but there's nothing that prepares you for what it's like to be in the game. In this case, what was it like for eight-year-olds to be under the pressure of coaches that wanted to win in the playoffs, of parents that wanted them to win, of a full stand of people looking at them and feeling the pressure of, we don't win this game, we don't get to play again. You know, I really felt sorry for them. And I really feel sorry for us as coaches, as business people, when we don't get to practice in the game, when we don't get that game time that is really needed, because you can't learn it in the dugout. And what this means is that if you're a new coach, or even a coach of many years, do you have a variety of clients? You know, if all your clients look alike, they're doing the same thing, how different can your coach? One of the things that really lets you blossom in your coaching, lets you come to the coaching session with a full bag of tools to use, is if you've been exposed to lots of different client situations, if you've been exposed to lots of different kinds of clients, if you've seen what coaching processes work well under what conditions and which ones don't. So if you don't have a full practice, go volunteer your time. Get in the game. Coach somebody. Even if you're not getting paid in terms of fee, you're going to get paid in terms of game time. You're going to be ready when it's time to go up to the big show, okay, as they say. So get out there and get that advantage. You know, when we talk about breaking down the silos, you know, you need to promote an inclusive work environment versus an exclusive. You need to bring people together. This was one of the things they were talking about at ASTD meeting, is this integration of the HR personnel functions of bringing people together. And I read an article online that it talked about one of the biggest factors in lack of employee recognition is the silo effect. Is the fact that as people are in a silo, they don't get recognition from other than a small group, if anybody. And there's a need to use employee recognition to help break down those silos, to make sure that the person working in this silo knows that the people in the other silos recognize their efforts. So you want to be able to do that and work on it. Let's see. Part of what you want to do in doing that is to make sure that you've got a feedback loop, a place for employees to make suggestions and talk about it. You know, so much of what you have to is just common sense for all of us. What I was hoping to really get across today, as we kind of get close to wrapping this up, is I wanted to get across the idea that silos are not just existing in business, they exist in coaching, and they exist with coaches. You know, so what we want to talk about here is, what are you doing to break down those silos? What should be your takeaway from today's conversation? You know, that takeaway should be, what is, are you working in a silo? Are your clients working in a silo? What are you doing to help them get new perspectives? What are you doing to break the bounds of tradition and fear and pride and low expectation and process orientation rather than results orientation? Those are topics that, you know, I hope we can cover at some other time. That I hope, if you've got some suggestions, drop me a line at the Coaching Perspective. I'm Doug at coachingperspective.com. And let me know what you think about it. Let's keep the conversation going and see if we can't work this up. Well, look, let me just say one more thing before we sign off here. One, be sure to tune in again. We're live every Thursday at 4 p.m. on octalkradio.net. I mentioned look for our weekly newsletter on Wednesdays, and if you're not getting it, go to the website or send me an email and make sure that I get you on the list. And I want to just thank you for your continued loyalty and listening to the program. And, hey, we have some great guests coming up, so be sure to stay in tune for them. So this is Doug Gefeller signing off. I hope you've enjoyed the show today, that the discussion has provided you with some new ideas and information that you can use to identify and achieve your goals. Great.
You've been listening to the only show that looks at business from a different perspective, the Coaching Perspective, with Master Certified Business Coach, Doug Gefeller.